Om Ajnanatimirannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
You're all here because you're investing your energy. You could have invested it elsewhere today, but you came here. So to honor that, to appreciate it, to reinforce what you've done today, here's a verse that is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the book I mentioned earlier. This is the quintessential book on bhakti yoga. It's 18,000 verses. So if you have a little extra time in your hands, you can read this. And you'll be amazed at what happens to your life when you do. It's considered to be one of the principal practices of bhakti yoga is to read and hear this book. So I'll read a little something from it. This is from the first canto, 9th chapter, 32nd verse. And this is a great saint who was a warrior saint named Bhishma Dev, who is to this day honored as one of the greatest teachers of bhakti of all time. But he had a day job. He was a warrior. And even in his occupation as a warrior, he ended up on the wrong side. You'll notice if you read the great epic Mahabharata, which is part of the Mahabharata, you'll notice that he ended up fighting on the opposite side, fighting against Krishna. Now, we don't have time to go into the esoterics of why that happened and what's interesting about that. But this shows that in the world that we live in, there are complexities, and even if you're a saint, you can end up on the wrong side. And it hardly matters in the end if your heart is in the right place. Let me put it like that. Of course, that statement can be easily abused, but please don't abuse it. This is text 32. Bhishma Dev said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created." And in this verse, I just want to bring your attention to a specific word, which is in these books, it's very convenient because there's a word-for-word translation. I mean, this is a painstaking work that took place in this book, 18,000 verses, and the author and his team went through and rendered each word into English so you can see where it comes from. That's how eager he was to impart this knowledge to us in a detailed manner. So the word upakalpita in this verse that you see there highlighted means invested. And I'll read it again. Bhishma Dev said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna." So, as I mentioned, it's possible and probable that one will move about this world in a distracted manner and be obligated to various subjects and occupational duties, correct? So now, at this point, I'll set the scene for you. He's a warrior, and it's the end of the battle. He ended up with multiple arrows through his body. However, because he was not just a warrior, but also a mystic and a great saint, he was given a benediction that he could prolong his life as long as he wished. He didn't have to leave his body. He could go at any time. So although his body was impaired, to say the least, he had arrows, and he was pinned to the ground with these arrows. Still, he was fully conscious. And not only that, at this time, after the battle, Yudhishthir, who was the king that represented the side of the Pandavas in the war at Kurukshetra, which is the subject and the context for the Bhagavad Gita, was disconsolate. After any war, there's major damage on both sides, and Yudhishthir, although he won the war, felt it wasn't worth it because so many people had lost their lives and there was so much destruction to the community and society and so forth. And to understand how reversals in life can be handled properly, and to understand the most intricate of spiritual knowledge, Krishna himself brought Yudhishthira to Bhishma Dev, who was still lying on the battlefield, and asked Bhishma Dev in that state to now impart spiritual knowledge. So you're getting this from Bhishma Dev as he's lying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, riddled with arrows, and he's speaking transcendental knowledge. So now he's saying, there's a lot that's happened in life, and now I'm investing my consciousness fully in Lord Krishna. And now I'm going to just read part of the purport, and we'll have some discussion. So, purport says, because Bhishma Dev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general, and a leader of Kshatriyas, means warrior class, his mind was strewn over so many subjects, and his thinking, feeling, and willing were engaged in different matters. Do you ever find your mind strewn over many subject matters? Strewn is a good word for it, isn't it? Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely in the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna. He is described herein as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. That is, Krishna is described as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. So I'm bringing your attention to this investment. And the word investment is an interesting word, actually. It really means, originally, to dress something in a way that designates, to dress a person in a way that designates that person as being important or special. So, for instance, if someone was given a royal scarf, we hear about this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Gopinath Patanayaka, he was a tax collector, and although he ran into a little trouble in his job afterwards by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement, he was given even a better position, and to see that, he was given a special scarf. And there are other designated investments, the investments of clothing that other people have that show that they have some position, right? Like what? High court judge wears a cloak. It's ominous, a big black cloak, right? And what else? Stars on a military general? Nukula's got a good one. Catholicism. We don't get any more microphones here, do we? They've all been discarded, thrown away, stolen. They've gone out of style. They're strewn.
What they wear are called vestments.
What they wear is called, thank you. Always backing me up. Okay, so investments. Investment. So, an investment really means to dress something in a certain way. So when I was considering this word and the idea of investment, what am I addressing up in my life? What do I give particular importance to? This is what it means. Where I'm investing my thinking, feeling, and willing in this world. And in the definition of investment, it is given here to devote one's time, effort, and energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. I'll say, please repeat. To devote one's time, effort, and energy
to a particular undertaking
with the expectation of a worthwhile result. So, the great songwriter David Byrne once wrote in a song, "I don't know what you expect staring into the TV set." So, it stuck in my mind, that lyric, that what do you expect? If you invest in crazy, stupid ways, if you throw your money away, if you throw your time and energy away, what do you expect? And if you sit in front of a flat screen for a long time, what do you think you're going to get? What's your reasonable expectation? That's a rhetorical question, don't answer. But in investing We want to know how to use our time, effort, and energy properly. So there's several principles of investment that are given by experts, because it's a science, investing. You can actually study this carefully and do the best you can. Of course, the rest is left up to fate. But one of the principles of investing that's given is to always invest with a margin of safety. The margin of safety is a very specific term. It means it's a principle of buying a security at a significant discount to its intrinsic value. So significant discount over intrinsic value. So that means people who are really into investing, for instance, in the equities market, they look around like Warren Buffett. He's famous for this. People like Warren Buffett all over the world. He's kind of a feel-good guy, made billions of dollars, gives it all away, gives advice freely, wishes that he was taxed more by the government because he thinks it's not fair that he keeps all the money at the top percentage and so forth. So he talks about looking around and finding discounts. There are lots of companies that sell shares in their company that at a discount, but he looks and he finds that they actually have value, much more value than they're being sold for. He can find that out by looking very carefully and seeing what their real value is. So if you do that, if you find a real discount, and you can investigate and see that it has intrinsic value that you're very sure about, then that's one of the principles of investment to buy there. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned by the author, study very carefully Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mentioned he's the most recent incarnation of Krishna, but he comes as a devotee to teach devotional service, and he's known by the insiders, insider information. Mano Mahavara Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gora Tushe Namaha. He's known as the most magnanimous of all the of incarnations of the Lord. Practically speaking, in his own words, when he went to Varanasi to distribute Krishna consciousness, he said, I went to give it away. He's ready to give it away for free. He's giving out the highest thing for free. So if one investigates this, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami, says, if you investigate and find out what is the intrinsic value in what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching, and that he's giving it at such a huge discount, which is for free, then get that. Get as many shares as you can in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Buy now. As fast as you can. Get on the phone with your broker and buy shares in the Sankirtan movement. Another principle is to expect volatility and profit from it. So neophytes in investing, they are moved by fear, and when the market drops, they sell everything off, and when the market increases, they buy. So essentially, they're doing it in reverse. They're buying high and selling low. Am I correct on that? Yeah. And so you have to have a steady philosophy through which, whether things are up or they're down, you continue in the same with the same philosophy. You don't freak out. So, first of all, profit from volatility. This is one of the ways in which we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam the great devotees all have their major revelations and reveal them to the world in times of the greatest volatility. Can you name a few? Here's what I'm thinking. A Parikshit Maharaj. He's the subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was a king. He had everything, and then all of a sudden he lost it. Sounds like a possible scenario in the material world? Ever heard of it before? Ever experienced anything like it? Ever worry about it? Say yes. Thank you. So there's unspeakable volatility in the material world. It's so volatile here that you can lose everything in a second. And I mean everything. I mean not just your car or your stereo or something like that. I like everything. Who had their hand up? The Pandavas. You're thinking of the Pandavas. Yes. The Pandavas were the rightful heirs to the throne, but they lost everything. And commenting on the life of the Pandavas, their mother, Kunti, said that thrive on volatility. Where does she say that? She said, Vipada santata shashva tatra tatra jagat guru darshanam bhavato yatsya apuna bhavadarshanam. So she said that she's a major investor, and she's investing at the worst times. She's saying that's the best time to invest, because she said that's when you see the greatest opportunity, when there's huge volatility. So this is the devotee investor, knows that there's huge volatility in the material world, and when the market is going smash in the material world, figuratively speaking, the devotee's buying heavily shares of bhakti, doubling down on the practice of devotional service and so forth. So being ready for volatility and preparing oneself to go more deeply within one's practice while there's volatility. And one of the aspects of expecting volatility and compensating for it, which is a principle that in investing called dollar cost averaging, which means that those who are passive investors buy steadily. Like every month they'll invest in the market because the market goes up and down. So when the market's up, they're buying fewer shares at a higher price. And when the market goes down, they're buying more shares at a lower price. Does that make sense to you all? Because it's going like this, but they just buy at the same time every month. Every month, the 25th, automatic buy. So this is a way in which Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita we should also conduct ourselves in devotional service. He says, Matra sparshas dukantaya shitoshna sukha dukada agama payino nityas tamstitiksha shvabharata. And that is that even as the material world is fluctuating and you're getting happiness one day and distress the next day, profit one day, loss the next day, he says, stay steady. He says, tolerate that and continue with your practice of devotional service. So this is a good investment practice throughout one's life, is to stay steady and continually buy shares of bhakti, no matter what the market's doing. And these are from experts. They say, now I'm going to read you one short paragraph because this is such an important principle. And start investing now. And here's the paragraph. We say this not just to discourage procrastination, but because an early start can make all the difference. In general, every 6 years you wait doubles the required monthly savings to reach the same level of retirement income. Here's the point. A motivational statistics. If you contributed some amount each month for the next 9 years and then nothing afterwards, or if you contributed nothing for the first 9 years and then contributed the same amount each month for the next 41 years, you would have about the same amount. Compounding is a beautiful thing. I hear some gasps coming from the young people over here. So this is the power of compounding interest when you're investing money. But human form of life, the most valuable asset we have is our time, energy, and where we place our attention. So the scriptures all say, invest now. Give your attention as soon as you can to the process of bhakti, and try not to divert it to anything else, even as you go about your work in the material world. And if you can invest early and often, then you'll prepare yourself. Some people say, oh, this is for old people, just wait till you're old. But if you don't get the compounded effect, and Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, under his commentary of the verse, Prayana Kali Manasachalina Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balina Chaiva Bruvor Madhye Pranamavesha Samyak Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. And this describes how yogis, at the time when they're leaving their bodies, because of their investments in their practice of yoga, they're able to actually fix their mind fully on the Supreme when they're leaving their body. And Prabhupada in his purport mentions that one has to invest throughout life in order to have this compounded interest in bhakti, so that at the end one can have the full strength, which is called yoga balina. What's it called? In order to be successful when one makes this final transition of leaving this body. And have a long-term plan. A long-term plan means don't worry about slight setbacks that you have while you're practicing in this lifetime, but see this life as a continuum, and that everything you contribute as you go forward will have a compounding effect. So you have to look at the long term for this lifetime and look at the big goal. So investing your consciousness is something very practical that you can do every day. And one of the practices that's highly recommended in bhakti, besides the singing that we just did, is to silently pray every day by using the Maha Mantra, by praying on the Maha Mantra. That is, you say the Maha Mantra out loud to yourself so you can hear it, and as you're doing it, you're offering a prayer. So one may not always be in a prayerful mood, and the mind might not always be in a cooperative mood when one tries to do this kind of concentrated practice of meditation. Is that possible? Mind might not cooperate. So one of the most helpful pieces of advice I've received about investing my attention in the practice of chanting Hare Krishna, in the name itself, while I'm chanting, came from Satyadeva Prabhu. And he said that one should be aware that one's chanting. This is simple enough, because there may be many techniques of yoga and meditation, fix the mind and make sure you're concentrated and so forth, bring the mind back. And all that seems very puny compared to the strength of the mind. In other words, the mind is so powerful that it can simply roll right over us. And the detailed pieces of advice I receive may be difficult to enact when the time actually comes. But this piece of advice I've found very practical, and that is, while you're chanting, be aware that you're chanting. And this is so simple but profound, because there's a way in which I've noticed after receiving this advice that I can be chanting and not aware that I'm chanting. Just as much as I've noticed that while reading a book, I can be reading a paragraph and not even aware that I'm reading the paragraph, because I'm thinking about what? What am I thinking about? There's 50 emails I haven't answered yet, and the people probably hate me by now, so that's what I'm thinking. And then I go back to the beginning of the paragraph, and I think, oh, I read the paragraph, my eyes read the paragraph, but I didn't read it. So how to invest? Invest your time and energy in a bhakti as soon as you can. Be steady in investing, and learn specifically how to concentrate on the most important principles of bhakti when you do invest. What people lack in the world, I can say this categorically, is an object which will satisfy them. Everyone's looking for some object to satisfy them, to look at. I look around the world, I see many objects, and many of them are actually overtly advertised as being set as objects that will satisfy me. Like, what kind of objects might those be? Food, yeah. Have you seen any signs about food around that say that they'll satisfy you? What's that?
Snickers.
Snickers, yeah. Let me teach you a little trick. You know, the Ramayana was started because, has everybody heard of Snickers before? It's a candy bar. You not heard of Snickers? Okay, you can admit it. I know you don't eat them, but The Ramayana's famous book about Lord Ramachandra, it was written by Valmiki, a sage. And before that, he was a hunter, but he gave up hunting and became a nonviolent sage. And then he got a guru. But when he got his guru, he was actually in such a fallen state. His guru taught him to chant God's names, like we're talking about here, in order to become perfected. And he said, I can't do it. I'm too low. I can't even say these names. I can't say the name. I can't even utter the name of the Supreme. So the spiritual master, being very expert, say, okay, don't. Just say the name of death. He said, because you're so into death, you've killed so many other living entities and you're hunting, so you say death. So the word for death is Mara. So let's say five times Mara. Mara, Mara, Rama, Rama. You end up saying Rama, and that's what happened to Valmiki. He was tricked. So Valmiki sat there chanting Mara, 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 but it was the same thing, Rama, 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 which is names of God, and then he became an enlightened sage. So if you meet somebody that can't say Krishna, you say Krishna, you go, I'm not going to say it. Just try say Snicker. Snicker bar. Okay, don't say the bar part, but just Snicker. Try it five times. You ready? Snicker, 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 Snicker. You can't say Snicker. I don't know if I deserve an applause for that, but so this chanting of the names of the Lord means you could be fully aware and invest your consciousness in it and remember that you're chanting. Just remember that you're chanting. And so it's recommended to do this every day, because if you do it every day, then you'll start noticing the effects. And the best way to regulate yourself in doing it is to count how many times you do it. This gives what's called numerical strength. So there's a home practice that you can try, and that is to carve out some time for yourself, for your spiritual self, and each day take that allotted amount of time to repeat the mantra. And so the mantra, you can count on your hands. If you put your thumb on the middle segment of your ring finger, like this, and say one. Now move it down to the bottom, two. To the bottom of your little finger and say three. The middle of your little finger, say four. Top of your little finger, say five. Top of your ring finger, say six. Top of your middle finger, say seven. Top of your index finger, say eight. Middle of your index finger, say nine. Bottom of your index finger, say ten. Let's try it faster. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Now you can count 10 mantras. So we'll do it together. We'll chant, put the mantra up, please. And we'll chant 10 mantras together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Were you aware that you were chanting? Stayed aware? So while you're chanting, if you keep asking yourself, am I aware that I'm chanting? You'll find that you come right back to the mantra. Your mind will be on the chanting. And that's all you have to do. Is if you invest your time and energy in this practice, and you become aware of the mantra, then you'll have success in the practice of spiritual life, guaranteed. And this is what I tried to substantiate earlier by giving some evidence from the Vedic scriptures and from the great teachers. And just after we have a couple of reflections about what you've heard so far, then I'm going to read you a poem. Do you like poems? Yeah. I know you do. So let's have a few reflections. Anything you heard that's stuck in your mind that you found valuable, interesting, that are usable, that you're going to take away.
Hare Krishna. So the point that I really liked is, even when material world is fluctuating, tolerate that and continue with our devotional practice.
That's right. Keep buying shares in bhakti. That even when everything's crashing around you, keep buying shares of bhakti. Especially invest in Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, living in a holy place, and worshiping the deity. These are the five most, the fact this is, there's a Dow Jones Industrial Index, and they just take a segment of the stocks in the market to make this index. This is the Bhakti Index. If you're investing in these five on a regular basis, then you're going to be doing quite well. All right, what else? Yes. What are you going to call that index while you're passing that over?
BKTI Index.
What is that?
BKTI.
The Bhakti Index? Okay, the BKTI was up today. Just as the material world was giving a lot of trouble, the devotees were investing heavily, especially in Silicon Valley. Yes.
As you mentioned in previous classes, the one thing that has value in this world is consistency. So you are mentioning dollar cost averaging, so you keep investing no matter what.
Yes. You got to have a good philosophy. And in investing, people lose money because they freak out. They don't have a good principle to work out. They just do it emotionally and they look in. And so in life, you have to have a principle that you're following, no matter what's happening around you. So in spiritual life, this is consistency is king. You have to be consistent in your practice in order to make steady advancement. So stick with the process, no matter what's happening, no matter what your mind says or anybody else says, you keep investing every day the amount that you can afford. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for such a wonderful class, such an encouraging class. I liked one thing that you said is best form of investment is to invest in Lord Chaitanya's movement.
Yeah.
And one verse that I remember in this context is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karahe Vichar Vichar Karile Chitte Paibe Chamatkar. So the more we analyze the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we'll be astonished.
Thank you very much. You know, that reminds me of Ganapati Swami, one of the great Swamis of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You never see him, right? You've never seen Ganapati Swami. You've probably never even heard of him. He's one of my old friends. He's out on book distribution. He has a tiny little mobile home that he keeps his deities and his books in, and he stays to himself. He's at the Grand Canyon and all these other places. He sets up book tables and distributes books on campuses and things like that. So why did I bring him up? Because remember Y2K?
Yes.
Remember that, right? Yeah, everyone said everything was going to fall apart at the last. So, you know, people made various choices at that time. Some people sold all their property and moved to the hills and things like that. Ganapati Maharaj bought Bhagavad Gitas. He invested in warehouses in the middle of Arizona and filled them up with Bhagavad Gitas.
You gotta love somebody like that. So this is the instinct of the devotees to invest in Lord Chaitanya. Buy shares now. What else? This is not inconsistent with the... you were ready, right? Okay. This is not inconsistent with the language of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The same metaphors are used. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as a great capitalist. And he's an investor. And he's investing in... anyone who wants to join his corporation, he'll invest in. He'll give you capital startup money in order to start. And that's why devotees who just jump in, like Prabhupada, he came, everyone thought he didn't have any investment capital. That's wrong. He had the biggest backer in the universe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a great capitalist. And he knew it. He came across in the boat and said, how are you going to do it? Say, I know how I'm going to do it. I'm backed. So anyone who just takes this, this whole process of Krishna consciousness, becomes a spiritual entrepreneur and depends on the investment capital of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will be wildly successful. Not just successful, wildly successful. Hansapriya.
I want to just mention the point you made makes so much sense, that a good investor, it just, invest steadily. It doesn't just wait for market to go up and down.
Yeah, you can't time the market. Nobody knows what's going to happen, so you have to stick to a philosophy. And you can't predict what's going to happen to your mind. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, but you just have to have an intelligence that oversees everything and says, I'm going to keep doing my practice no matter what my mind says or whatever my body does. It doesn't matter. You can be sure that there's going to be volatility in the world, in your mind, everywhere else. Everyone has it. But the good investors, they stick to the principle. They keep buying. They keep doubling down on bhakti every day. Double down on the bhakti investment every single day, and you'll become extremely wealthy. By the time you become old, you'll have so much capital, you'll be able to just give it out freely everywhere you go. That's what the great Parvachakacharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, Paramahamsa, went all over the world and just said, I got free bhakti because he invested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stocks. And then they went through the roof. Who is next? Yes, Prabhu. Get him a mic.
One interesting thing about that verse which Bhishmadev was talking about, one key point, there was satisfaction. And he was saying that he was engaged in all kinds of activities and it did not give him the ROI of that activity, which is satisfaction. But when he wants to now invest in the devotional service so that he gets the return as satisfaction, because he is going to someone who is self-satisfied. So that is one interesting thing about the verse. A specific quality of Krishna is being mentioned as self-satisfied. So he can give him some satisfaction.
So if I understand you correctly, you're referring to this verse and you were saying that...
Krishna was self-satisfied, so he can give satisfaction.
I see.
And Bhishmadev was engaged in all kinds of activities and he was not satisfied. Now he wants to engage in devotional service to Krishna because Krishna is self-satisfied. So he can give some satisfaction to him.
Yes. Very nice point. Very good. Thank you. Malini?
Guruji, in the beginning of the class you mentioned that we don't try to extract information from the scriptures, but it's actually we believe in the passed down method, and actually we wait for the mercy to be passed down to us rather than we trying to extract.
Well, what I said was that in the empiric method of trying to get information from the world, through empiric science, I might try to extract information from, for instance, Mother Nature. Say, give it up, or we'll crack you open and take it out if we have to. It's a very violent kind of idea. Whereas in bhakti, we prepare ourselves so that we can receive the knowledge that comes down to us. Is that parallel with what you said? That's what I said. Thank you.
I like the point where you said small contributions daily will have a compound effect.
Yes. Compounded interest, look into it. It's powerful. I mean, just the statistics I told you, if you start now and invest for 9 years and then stop, if you don't invest for 9 years and then you start investing, it'll take you 41 years to catch up to the 9 years. So better to start now. This is Prahlad Maharaj told his friends, Komara acharit pragno dhaman bhagavatamiha dulabam manasam janma tadapya dhruvam artadam. He said, life is not fixed, and you don't know how long you're going to get. Don't have any expectations. So he said, start now while you're kids. He was talking to his classroom of kindergartners. They're in kindergarten. And he was saying, start bhakti now while you're a kumara, while you're a little child, because you're going to get compound in interest throughout your life. Yes. Yes.
It's just the point that you made about high premium for humility. And when we do service with humility and unmotivated service to the pure devotees, then the apple juice of Krishna consciousness, love for Krishna, that's flowing in their heart, we can get to taste that.
Yes, and you can't make that stuff up. That's right in the commentary for the verse, evam vatasva priyamamakirtya jatana rago chitachuta ucher asatyato rautiti rauti gayati unmadavam rittiti lokabhayaha. From Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a famous verse actually from the Bhagavatam, from the Navayogendras to Maharaj Nimi. And this verse is a verse that Srila Ishvarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave him and said that when you take a vow to invest in the holy names, evam vrta swapriya namakirta, you say, I'm investing in this every day, no matter what else is happening, then you'll notice a change in yourself, and that is your heart will melt. Jutta chitta. Your heart becomes softer and softer and then will melt. And then you'll become a lover of God. So in the commentaries, it's mentioned that when one approaches pure devotees of the Lord, you'll find that their heart's already melted. And what is the melted substance? It is rose apple juice, a river of rose apples. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. The point I like, Prabhu, was that you said about the chanting, that the advice that you received, that be aware of the chanting.
Yes.
I mean, it's very easy to say, but it's very profound.
Yes.
I mean, since that's our main sadhana, coming back to that, you know, really helps, reassures that that's the right thing to do, just be aware of your chanting.
Yeah, free gift from Satyadev Prabhu, the great sage and sadhu who sits almost perpetually in meditation on the holy names. And comes up with these great ways in which one can focus one's mind. It's been a great influence on my life.
Okay, thank you very much. Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey! Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.